from Las Vegas. You're listening to Verve Church for people who don't like church. Thanks for tuning in.
We all want to be happy. In fact, we live in a country that's all about the pursuit of happiness. And I would say beyond what we really want, deeper than happiness, is this thing called joy. And so many people don't have it. We just don't have the happiness. We don't have the joy that we want. We're doing a series called Chasing Happy. And today we're going to look at what might be the number one obstacle to joy, perhaps the biggest reason that we can't grab a hold of joy in our lives. It's because of what happened to us yesterday. It's the pain, it's the guilt, it's the hurts, it's the shame from our past that keeps us from fully living today and moving into our future with freedom, because we all have things from our past that hold us back, right? For me, I've had a few leaders in my life let me down. And over the past couple of years, these guys that I trusted, looked up to, who had just failed me and a whole bunch of others, it's made me angry. And it's made me more than just a little bitter. It's caused some sadness. It's caused some disillusionment. And it's really messed with me over the last couple of years. I wonder what it would be for you. You know, to make this very real and more helpful, I want to ask you to identify something from your past that holds you back. What's something that you need to let go of in order to have joy today, where you need to let God bring some healing? Maybe you had a parent who was difficult or neglected you or even abused you, and you just can't seem to let it go. Or maybe there's a relationship that broke up and you're still hurting from it. You know, maybe you were betrayed, you know, like me, and you're still bitter about it. Maybe you have a child who's broken your heart. Oh, man. Or you've lost a job. There's a boss or a business partner that you can't forgive. Perhaps you made a bad choice and you just can't forgive yourself. You're finding it hard to forgive yourself. Or maybe there's a habit or an addiction that you keep falling victim to, or someone that you loved, but you lost them. It could be that you're afraid that you missed out on a great chance or a great opportunity in your life, and now you're worried that it's gone forever. Oh, man. What's one area that you need to get past your past? Think about that. The problem here is that so many of us, there are so many people who get crippled in life because they never do that. You know, something happens to them in their past and they carry it with them and they keep carrying it with them and it kills them inside. It just squeezes them inside and they can't fully move into the future that God has for them. And you know what? Maybe that's you. At some point, you just have to ask yourself, do I really want to keep living this way where I'm holding on to the past? Do I really want to keep repeating mistakes from my past? Do I really want to let the hurts of my past keep me from being happy today or tomorrow? You know, don't just get used to it. Do you really want to keep living that way? That's the question, you know? You got to wonder about that. I want you to really be thinking about that. So how do we move past our past and into a better future? How does this work? Well, the first thing I'd tell you is that it is possible. You may not have personally experienced that kind of a win yet, where you've gotten past your past, but still, I bet that deep down inside, you know that it's true. Like, there must be a way to get past your past. You know, I know people, you probably know people too, who have had something horrible happen in their past, and it's not continuing to affect them negatively. You know what they've gone through. You look at their life and you think, wow, somehow you put your past in the past. And you look at them and you think, man, you have a great life. You have joy today. On the other hand, there are other people who have had something horrible happen in their past. You know them, I know them, and they've never moved past it. It's like they're stuck in the past. There's a verse in the Bible. Check this out. It's in Proverbs 26:11. It says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. It's kind of an unappetizing image, right? What's the word vomit doing in the Bible? Like, did a seventh grader write this verse? Well, if you've had a dog, you know that when they get sick, they throw up. And when they throw up, they go back to their throw up and they eat it. It's gross. And this verse is saying that some people have had something bad happen or done something bad, and instead of walking away or moving out of that kind of, you know, instead of walking away, they go back to it again and again and again, you know? It might be that you were abused and you're not in that situation anymore, but your thoughts go back there all the time. You keep replaying the mental videotapes. Or it might be that you had an awful first marriage and then a second marriage that looked a whole lot like the first one, and now you're in a third marriage and it's the same thing again and again. Or you have the same cycle of financial problems maybe. You know, you keep going, making the same mistakes again and again and again, never stopping to try to understand why. You just repeat the folly. Or maybe it's an addiction that keeps holding you back and you keep going back to it even though it's killing you. So really, how do we move past our past and into a better future? God has some answers for us. And we're going to go to the Bible today and find out what they are. I love how a guy in the Bible named Paul talked about this. Now, this was a guy with a sordid past. Man, he had some scandals that were really embarrassing. Look at what he wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. He says, "Not that I have already obtained all of this, or I have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." He goes on, he says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself as having taken hold of it, but one thing I do is I forget what is behind me, and I strain towards what is ahead." And then in verse 14, it says, "I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." This is Philippians chapter 3. So Paul's saying, listen, I have a goal. I have a life that I want to live, a future that I want to get to, and I'm not there yet. I haven't obtained it. I haven't arrived. I haven't taken hold of it. And then he says in verse 13, "But one thing I do," it's almost a declaration, "is I forget what is behind." It's really important that we understand that when Paul uses the word forget, he does not mean I've erased it from my memory. That's just not possible. You know, people can't do that. And honestly, it wouldn't even necessarily be a good thing, because part of getting past your past is reflecting on it and learning from it. I need to allow my past to make me a wiser and better person. So Paul's not saying I've forgotten what happened in my past. No, he's saying I have this goal. I have a life that God has for me, the life that I want to live. And there's this person I want to become and God wants me to become. And I refuse to allow what's happened in my past to keep me from my future. My past will inform me, but it will not deform me. Ah, it's good. My past will educate me, but it will not devastate me. I choose for the power of God, not the power of the past, to be the guiding power for my life moving forward. Part of moving your past and putting it into the past is choosing, like Paul does here, to put your past behind you, to press on to your future, straining towards what is ahead. Now, what's amazing, friends, is how often people don't make that choice. They just stay. People live as though they have no choice. They're just victims to their past. I've done it. Maybe you've done it too. And they wait for the future, hoping that somehow things might change. You know, I hope my resentment might go away someday. I hope my guilt will go away someday. I hope my regret will go away someday. And Paul says, that's not how I'm choosing to live my life. I love it. I'm not hoping. I am making a choice. The one thing I do, if I don't get anything else right, this I will. I choose not to be chained to my past, and I release its power over me. I forget what is behind. It's so good. And we need to make that same choice, you guys. Today, about the thing that's holding our past, that's holding us back from our past, that's been holding us back. I told you that God has answers for us, and it starts with making that choice. It continues by identifying the cause of what happened to us, because God's answer for how we move past our past depends on the cause, right? If you think about the bad things that you've done in your past, they're going to involve one of three causes, or sometimes a mixture of them. There's a bad thing that happened in my life that can be my bad, There's bad things that can happen that could be your bad, and there's bad things that can happen that could just be because they're bad. So another way of saying this is it could be something that's my fault that's causing this, or it could be your fault, or it could be no one's fault. Let's jump into this. Let's start with my bad. These are things that have happened that I want to move past that are my fault. And moving past them requires me to acknowledge them, to own them, and to learn from them. The word that the Bible uses for how we can move past my bad experiences is that we have to confess. The Bible tells us, like in Ephesians chapter 5, that when we have sin, when we keep it hidden, we can't move past it. You can't keep stuff in the shadows. When we keep our sin in the darkness, it just festers. When we bring it into the light, there can be healing. There can be a new path into the future. So we need to confess what's happened to God. There's a guy in the Old Testament of the Bible named David, and David believed in God. David was awesome. He loved God, but he screwed up. He did. He committed adultery, and he decided just to pretend that it never happened, to keep acting the way that he always had, and life would just keep moving forward. Just press pause for a second. Like, have you ever sinned and you just try to pretend that it didn't happen? Well, this one, this adultery sin, oh man, he was guilty. He didn't have happiness. He didn't have joy. He couldn't just move past it. He couldn't just forget about it. And finally, he confesses what he's done to God. He acknowledges his sin and he owns it. He doesn't blame anyone else. He confesses. And look what he writes about it. Check this out. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. And then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I didn't cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Psalm 32, verses 4 through 5. He goes on to say, God, you are my hiding place. I rejoice in you. Now, that's a big difference from what he said in Psalm 32, where he said, your hand is heavy on me. My strength was sapped. What set him free from his past was confession. You know, when you have the weight of sin on you, it's like your strength gets sapped. It's like you don't have any hope. When you have these my bad past experiences that have to do with your sin, you've got to confess. And the Bible says that we should also confess to another person. Confess to God, but also confess to another person. Check out what the Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, therefore, confess to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. That is an awesome truth. Part of the path to healing and to a better future is confessing your sin to another person. Now, I don't know who, but it might be the person that you sinned against. I know that's a hard one. Maybe that's part of the path of healing for everyone involved, that you confess to that person that you sinned against. Or maybe it's not that person. Maybe it's a trusted friend who will listen, who won't judge you, and who will pray for you. Oftentimes, you can't get to the person that you sinned against. They're not around anymore, but you still feel the guilt. By the way, God's not the only one saying that you need to confess to become free. If you're an addict and you want to be free of your addiction, you learn that the 12 steps are a path to freedom. Well, what's step 5? Some of you know it very well. It's admit to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. It's confession. God says if what happened is a my bad thing, if you sinned, you need to confess it. I need to confess it to him and to another person, and you'll be amazed how it sets you free. The truth will set you free in that way. John chapter 8. The only way to get past these my bad experiences is to confess, to acknowledge, and to own your sin. And it takes a ton of courage to do that. No one wants to do that. It's difficult. But if you have to, there's a my bad in your life, and you've got to get past it, and that will come from confession. Then there's another category, and that's your bad. This hurt comes from not something that I've done or that you've done, but for something that was done to me. Somebody hurt you. Somebody cheated you. Maybe someone bullied you. someone deliberately insulted you or disrespected you, or maybe there was a boss who was a jerk to you, unfair to you, or someone who violated you. God says there's a solution for your bad that allows you to move past your hurt, and that solution is to forgive. You know, there's confession and then there's forgiveness. I told you that a part of my past is that I've been dinged up by some leaders that I've had in the past in the church. And you guys, when you don't know really how to deal with feelings, you know, the ones that I had, I was confused. I felt naive. I couldn't believe. I just hated feeling let down. I couldn't even believe these guys would do that. And it really hurt me. And it really hurts when it's a part of the church, man. It's a drag in a ministry setting. And I just expected more from these leaders, you know? Does that make sense? I wanted to forgive them, and I tried, but I just kept feeling bitter. Couldn't really talk to a lot of people about it. It was just something that I was living with, and I built my own little prison that I let myself live in. So I really got into forgiveness. I studied it. I tried to learn about it. I learned that forgiveness is not a few things. Forgiveness is not saying that what the person did was okay, because it wasn't okay. God wouldn't say it's okay. Forgiveness is also not sweeping it under the rug. You know, if we don't deal with it and instead just bury our feelings, they become toxic and we become bitter. So it's not that. Forgiveness is also not forgetting, because we can't forget. Our minds don't work like that. And God's not asking us to forget. I also learned what forgiveness is. See, forgiveness is releasing my hope for a better past. It doesn't mean that you love your past, but you do need to accept it. It is what it is. You can't change it. And you need to release your hope for a better past, because if I stay bitter, if you stay bitter about your past, it can ruin your future. But when we forgive, when we let go, it doesn't change our past, but it changes our path. Oh man, that's good. It changes our path. Forgiveness is releasing my hope for a better past, and it puts me on a new path. Forgiveness is also not releasing my right to retaliate, right? Releasing my right to revenge. How often in your life, when somebody does you wrong, do you just want revenge? Well, forgiveness is when you give that up. The Bible says that justice is God's job. Think about that. If the person needs to be punished for what they've done, let's let God figure that out. My job, your job, is to forgive. And friends, it's not natural. It's difficult. It's also not fair sometimes, but it is better. It's a better way to live. It's a better way to make it through. God's pointing the way for us to live a better life, and it's not in revenge. And forgiveness also releases the power of Jesus into your life. This is awesome. God calls us to forgive, but he understands that it's not easy. He understands it's not easy because he chose to forgive us. The Bible says that we've all sinned against God in all kinds of awful ways. And God's response was to offer us forgiveness. And it wasn't easy for him to do that. In fact, to do that, his son Jesus had to leave him and come to earth to suffer and to die. So God knows that it's not easy to forgive. And that's why God offers to help us. He doesn't ask us to do it on our own. He offers to give us the power to forgive the person. And that's what happened with me. I mean, I held on to this stuff for years. You know, not forever, but for probably the last 4 or 5 years. I got some counseling, and I got into a small group called Rooted. Some of you are in that small group here at Verve now. It's called Rooted. You can maybe get into it in a future semester. And I learned that instead of trying to ignore what had happened in my past, I went back there, and I dealt with it. The counseling helped, the group helped, and I just prayed and prayed. And one day, I let go of the bitterness that I was feeling, and I gave forgiveness. Now, I had said the words, "I forgive them," many times before, but on that day, I actually did. I was with a group of guys. I talked about what had happened, and I just told him I've been bitter. And I let it go. And that day changed everything for me. I don't want to be too dramatic, but friends, it set me free. I started to feel better. I started to realize that I don't have to hold on to this. And maybe for you, getting past your past means that there's someone you need to forgive. Maybe you have a conversation with that person or invite them to have coffee. I know it's hard. Maybe you just start by talking to God about it, asking for help, asking for His guidance to recognize, you know, what are the ways that you can go to forgive? I had to do that. And you ask God to offer you that same power of forgiveness that He's offered to you. Maybe you've been hurt by a your bad experience, and to get past your past, friend, you need to forgive. There's another category of hurt that you may have to get past, you know, so it's not something that you did. It's not your bad. It's not something somebody else did to you. It's just something that's bad in the world. You didn't do anything wrong. Nobody wronged you. It's just that life is painful sometimes and you got hurt by it. Maybe a loved one died too early and it hurts. Or maybe you have a regret, you know, if only things had been different. You know that kind of regret? There's also it's bad stuff in our world that can paralyze us, right? Think of what we've been through in the world the past couple of years. You know, the pandemic is kicking our tails. There's a political discord no matter which side of the aisle that you're on. There are wars, there are endings to wars that doesn't go, you know, there's threats, there's terrorism, there's natural disasters all over the map. Friends, there is so much suffering, right? No wonder there's so much mental illness in our world. So what is God's answer to move past the just, it's bad stuff? Not your fault, not my fault, it's just bad. The only way to get past that kind of pain, only way, is hope. You and I have to believe that God is still God and that He still has a future for you. You have to believe that the brightness of God's future outshines the darkness of this world or of your past. Now, how does this work? Like, how do we push through the future that God has for us? And friends, hope is the way through. It's the way through. Check out what the Bible says. It's awesome. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and who've been called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28 is a classic verse. Paul says, and we know, not we think or we like to believe, we know. Well, what do we know? That in all things, not some things, not in some circumstances, no, in all things. Well, what's happening in all things? God is at work, bringing good out of bad for those who love Him. That's true north. That is true truth. And when you believe that, it gives you hope inside. Hope to move past your past. We see this with people all through the Bible, like Paul. When he wrote the passage that we looked at earlier about forgetting what is behind and pressing on to the future, he was in prison. He was in jail for talking about Jesus, which was illegal at the time. When he wrote that verse, he was in jail. And we see him in prison singing songs to God in the middle of the night and talking to prison guards about Jesus. This guy had hope that took over his life. And his hope wasn't in his ability to overcome. His hope was in Jesus, who overcame the grave. In that same letter he wrote from prison, he says, I want to know Christ, and I want to participate in His suffering. Why? He writes, because I want to know the power of His resurrection. He's like, when you're in a relationship with a God who can bring good out of a wrongful execution and can bring life out of death, well, there's always hope. Anything can be overcome. If you're in a relationship with that God, there's always hope. Whatever it's my bad experiences or it's bad experiences that you've had in the past, you can move past them because you have hope in a God who is bigger, who has a better future for you in this life and a perfect future for you in heaven. And if you're not in a relationship with God, know that He loves you. He's inviting you into it. And if you have questions about that, or you're thinking about taking that step, man, we would love to talk to you and help. You know, you can send me an email or one of the leaders at the church. You can find our emails at our website. Or you can DM your online host, and they can help you to begin your relationship with God, or they can help you answer questions that you might have. You need hope. We all need hope. So there's the power of confession. There's the power of forgiveness. And there's the power of hope. God can help you move past your past. And God can help you find true happiness because He's the author of joy. Let's pray together. Father, thanks for today. Thanks for having an opportunity to delve into some real things that we've held on to in our past and to learn what the antidotes are. You know, the stuff where we've made bad decisions or we've sinned, you know, we learn that there's power in confessing that to You and then talking to another person about that to unleash some freedom from our past. Father, for some of the rest of us who maybe have been wronged by someone or hurt by someone, the antidote is forgiveness, like just issuing forgiveness. Give us the strength. Help us understand and navigate that path to forgiveness if that's what's holding us back. And then, God, for some of us, you know, there's just things that have happened in our lives and our past that are just because things are bad. You know, it wasn't something we did or something someone did to us. It's just because it was bad. God, instill in us, for some of us for the first time, hope in You. If there's questions that we have, help us to get those questions answered. If it's just the courage to take a step and open up our hearts to a relationship with You, help us to do that. God, You're good. And we're grateful for You. Help us as we chase happy to find joy. And that will come when we let our past go. Help us to deal with that and do business with our past. God, You're good, and we trust You. It's in Your awesome name that we pray. Amen.